The prior context to this gospel reading is important, so I'm actually going to read from verse 22 through verse 40 today. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said to his disciples,
shall we bow?
Therefore I tell you, do not worry about
the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
But how much more value are you than the birds?
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed.
Consider the lilies.
Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division.
How much more?
From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The gospel of the Lord.
There your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him.
Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt.
If I had to name a theme running through today's readings, it would sound like something that maybe I might have heard more than once from my father, mother, or grandmother with whom we live. And that theme would be, and don't you ever forget it. Well, what are we not supposed to forget? There'll be several things in today's readings.
Please be seated.
Jeremiah and the psalmist have both learned about the proximity of God to the goings-on of human beings. So the first thing is, God is watching. God knows what's going on. And God wants God's word proclaimed to the people and lived by the people. Through Jeremiah, God asked, I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long?
And so there,
how long will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back to those who prophesy lies and who prophesy deceit in their own heart? They plan to make my people forget my name. By their dreams that they tell one another, they plan to make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? You get the feeling from this reading in Jeremiah that God might be a little bit perturbed enough to say, don't you ever forget that I know when prophets are deceiving people and distracting them from the truth of God's message. Well, how might this apply to us today? Leaders, especially religious leaders, are supposed to be faithful to what God wills and what God says. Well, how do you know when someone speaks that it's what God says? Here's the answer to that question.
Now, I appreciate Jesus telling us we don't have
Is not my it's word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that rakes the rocks
myself,
in pieces?
I tend to circle back to how
like a fire, God's word purifies.
Me, don't worry.
Like a hammer, it breaks open stony hearts
nice
and reveals what's in them.
Turn on and
that's
off
how you know. It's God's
so
word.
How can this happen? How can we free ourselves?
It's the psalmist who described God's stance in the divine counsel. The psalmist prayed for God to arise and rule the earth
with those around us.
And take the nations as your own.
Begins today's selected gospel text.
Not
we don't have
to buy them, like perhaps, I don't know, maybe
God's
Greenland,
says to give us
but
that kingdom,
to be claimed by God as God's.
Comes next.
And what does God say when God judges humanity? How long will you judge unjustly and show favor to the wicked? Save the weak and the orphan. Defend the humble and needy. Rescue the weak and the poor. Deliver them from the power of the wicked.
And it convicts us of the brokenness.
Do those verses make you think of anything that might be happening in today's world? If they don't, they should. And notice also how the prayer of the day addresses this. O God, judge eternal, you love justice, and you hate oppression. You call us to share your zeal for truth. Give us courage to take our stand with all victims of bloodshed and greed, and following your servants and prophets to look to the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. So what shall we never forget here? That God ultimately judges in favor of the weak, the poor, and the oppressed, and not in favor of the wicked.
Sound like good news.
It's a lot in the spirit of the Old Testament prophets, Jesus went through Judea and Galilee, preaching, teaching, and healing. And all these works of love were not without a sober and sorrowful side. Jesus said he came to bring fire to the earth, and that he was under stress until he would be baptized with the baptism with which he was to undergo. Jesus was not supportive of the idea that he was going to bring peace and unity. Instead, he brought a sword that would divide people, even within households. Whatever did that mean? It meant that either a person was going to be a follower of Jesus and loyal to Jesus, or a person was going to be loyal to family and family tradition.
About our own well-being.
The commitment that Jesus lived and sought from others was an all or nothing thing. The expectations the people had of Jesus in his day were not going to be fulfilled with the peace brought by a conquering Messiah. The people would continue to be subject to the bittersweet life they experienced in the Pax Romana. And Jesus himself would be burned with the fire of judgment and baptized with its flames of purification. His followers should expect nothing less or more. So what are we not to forget? That our expectations of the incarnation of Jesus, of God with us, may not be as sweet and lovely as we think they should be. The cross of Christ is painful. When God is among us, the will of God will be accomplished, no matter how divisive that becomes, no matter how painful it may be. And then moving on through the readings, we come to something else that we are to never forget.
And of course, it happens when a pastor or a vicar.
The reading from Hebrews 11 continues where it left off last week. by faith.
People like Vicar Parker and Gina,
by faith, all sorts of things happen to, for, and with the people of faith. And there are so many others, the author tells us. And I so much want to add, by faith, the ELCA, Churchwide Assembly, voted to become, among other things, a sanctuary church. But I won't say that today. Here's where the Hebrews reading gets interesting. When we read verses 32 to 35, we find references to stories of victory and escape from harm, including this last one. Women received their dead by resurrection. But halfway through this paragraph, it changes so that the next section tells of suffering because of faith. And others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. And others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in caves and holes in the ground. You hear that?
And supporting us all in this.
Don't ever forget that along with the joy of the Lord, there's also suffering. And faith is also a part of that.
Yesterday at our church council retreat,
suffering is a part of human life. It's also a part of discipleship. This past week, on Anderson Cooper 360 on CNN, there was a conversation about grief between Anderson Cooper and Stephen Colbert. Any of you see that?
I leave you with the words of Elsa, the
ice
princess.
Then I can tell you.
Frozen,
you saw it. Okay.
And her most,
if you didn't see it on CNN, you might find it on their website or someplace. I highly recommend watching this interview, whether you like either of those celebrities or not. And you want to find the full interview, and you can find it on Twitter. If you search for the phrase Anderson Cooper, Stephen Colbert. In this interview, both men talk about their experiences of grief. Both had fathers die when they were 10 years of age. For Colbert, it was not only his father, but his two brothers, who died at that time in a plane crash. Cooper's mother died not too long ago. And if you watch this interview, you will hear Anderson Cooper asking Stephen Colbert about his own quotes, one of which is about, to love the thing you most wish had not happened. And another is, what punishments of God are not gifts. The second, Colbert says, is a quote from Tolkien. Cooper asks Colbert, do you really believe that? Do you really believe the punishments of God are gifts? And Colbert replies, it's a gift to exist, and with existence comes suffering. There's no escaping that. Life is a gift. It's a good thing to be grateful for your life. If you're grateful for your life, then you have to be grateful for all of it. Even the things you wish had not happened. These are not the kind of words you expect to hear from a comedian. But then again, this is a comedian with a seriously solid Christian faith. Well, the final, don't ever forget, comes at the end of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Faith is not a passing daydream. Faith is more like wheat than straw. Faith provides nourishment for the long haul. Faith gives life a long view, long enough to reach into both the past and the future, long enough to touch eternity. How can that be? Because faith is a gift from the God who is eternal. Therefore, speaking of the biblical heroes, the Bible says, yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised. And here's the word of joy for us. Since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And don't you ever forget it.